Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 to 28. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. They asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the light of the world, who shines into the hearts of believers with the light of his word, dear fellow redeemed. Last week, our sermon based on the Gospel of Mark was all about John the Baptist, his person, the message that he brought to the people. And some of that information is also found in this morning's sermon text from the Gospel of John. And yet this morning's text will be applied in a completely different way. Both the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John want to make clear to their readers exactly who this John the Baptist is. You may recall last Sunday we mentioned that Mark began his gospel by quoting from two Old Testament prophets, showing that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of those prophecies. He was the forerunner. He was the one who was going to come before the Lord Jesus and be the one to point to the Lord, to prepare the hearts, to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. John says in his gospel, to make clear that his readers know, that John the Baptist was not the light. He was not the Messiah. He was to bear witness of that light. We mentioned last week that John was to come to point the people to Jesus, not to himself. In our text this morning, we're told that the Pharisees and some of the Jewish leaders sent priests and Levites to John out there in the wilderness by the Jordan River to ask him, "Who are you?" Now, they knew who he was. They knew he was John. They knew that he was baptizing. They knew he was the son of the priest Zacharias, whose mother was Elizabeth. But they wanted to find out more about him. Remember, we heard last week that everything about John was unusual. He lived on the wilderness, dressed differently, had a different diet, had a different message, and he became very, very popular. People flocked to the Jordan River to hear and proclaim, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Thousands came out to him. Well, both curiosity and concern for their own welfare caused these religious leaders to send a fact-finding delegation out to John and find out more about him. But in their reality, the question, "Who are you?" was really a loaded question. Really, they were asking him, "Whom do you claim to be? To what office are you aspiring? What are your goals?" And John understood their intent. And so when they asked him if he was the Messiah, he boldly, forthrightly said, "I am not the Christ." The Messiah was eagerly awaited. For many, for the wrong reason. But they were looking forward to that Messiah that had been promised all the way back to Adam and Eve, and all the way from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And they thought, perhaps this man, this strange individual, out there in the wilderness, perhaps he's the Messiah. But he clearly said, no, I'm not the Christ. So the questions followed. Well then, are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? The Lord, through the prophet Malachi, said this, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Many actually thought that God was going to send Elijah back from heaven, to which he ascended to, so he didn't die. And John said, no, I'm not Elijah. But that passage in Malachi does pertain to John, because he was Elijah, not in person, but as the angel said to Zacharias when he proclaimed that he would give birth to a son, he said, John will also go before the Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So John was like Elijah in his spirit and his power and his message. Well, maybe he's the prophet. Moses back in Deuteronomy prophesied, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Could this be that man in camel skins, the prophet? And John again said, No. The prophet, of course, is the Messiah. So far, the delegation hadn't got much information. Just a bunch of no's to take back to the church leaders. And so they needed to ask more information. They said to him, Who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And here John goes beyond his name, rank, and serial number. And he clearly tells him why he was born. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John had no reason for existence, no purpose on earth beyond bringing a message. He was a voice carrying on a ministry for someone else, for the Lord, crying out a message to a world that was a wilderness of sin and unbelief. John's response leads to think about that same question. Who are you? Who am I? Well, we are redeemed, blood-bought, ransomed children of God. People who have been led to repent of their sins, to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And since we've been sanctified by the Holy Spirit to be followers of Christ, you and I also are a voice that still cries out in the wilderness. Did you know that? Did you know that you are a voice that is to cry out in the wilderness of this world? Unfortunately, many don't know that. And that's why, many times, that voice is very much alone and often very, very quiet. When we cry out from God's word, that's a sin. That's contrary to God's unchangeable law. Very often, there's not many other voices crying out with us. John was a solitary figure, pretty much all alone out there in the literal wilderness by the Jordan River. He was a voice crying out. When it comes to hearing God's word and believing God's word, many don't want to hear God's word. But John didn't care. Even when he was confronted, he continued to proclaim the faithful word of God. And so as believers in Christ, as a voice still crying out in the wilderness, the first thing that God encourages us to be is to be a faithful voice. John was a faithful voice. He stood up and confronted his enemies. He confronted King Herod, who had taken his brother's wife to be his wife and committed adultery. And John said, that's adultery, that is wrong, it's condemned. And yet he's thrown in prison for that. And eventually he lost his head. He was beheaded because of that stand. He stood up to the Pharisees when they came out to the Jordan River to see what was going on and acted like they too wanted to hear John's words. And John confronted them and he said to them, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. O you brood of vipers." Whew. How will that message go over today? Christianity is not just a bunch of outward motions. It's not just saying the right words and doing the right things. Christianity is Christ, His perfect life of obedience, the God-man sacrifice upon the cross to pay for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins, and His resurrection. And then that message, when it gets hold of our hearts, it leads us to repent of our sins and realize that the only way to salvation is through faith in Jesus. Does Christ live in your heart by faith? Then He'll show. Each of you has been called to be a voice, a faithful voice, crying out in the wilderness of this world that we're all in need of a Savior. As one man wrote, "Before I climb out of the window on that firefighter's ladder, I must be convinced that the building is burning." So we too need John's finger pointed at every single one of us with that law saying, "Your house is on fire. You're burning with sin. You need to climb out and grab hold of that ladder, Jesus, as your only Savior." When we realize that, then we're called to point the finger of God's law at others and tell them the very same thing. Well, that's not easy, because we live in a sin-saturated world, a world that is so little sin-conscious that it accepts sin as the norm, the normal way of life. People are living in sin and they don't even know that it's contrary to God's word. But then we also need to point to Christ, to the coming Savior, to the gospel, and proclaim the only way to be saved from the guilt of our sins, the punishment of our sins, is to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not what we do that saves us. It's what God has done. No matter what people say, we cannot earn our own way to salvation by coming to church, saying our prayers, singing our hymns, giving up offerings. It is only by what Jesus has done for us. He is the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is that Son of Righteousness who has healing in His wings. He's the one who says to you and me, "Son, daughter, be of good cheer. All your sins have been forgiven." But then we also need to proclaim loud and clear that once we're brought to faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior, it'll show. It'll show in our words. It'll show in our actions. Or it's all a sham. Hearing and reading and studying God's word will be a sincere desire of every single child of God. If not, then there's something wrong with our faith. Despising God's word, not coming to the Lord's Supper week after week, month after month, is a sin. It needs to be repented of. We need to proclaim that going through the outward motions of decorating and celebrating Christmas makes us no different than the unbelievers if Christ is not the heart and center of our Christmas celebration and of our Christmas worship. We don't have enough time in these 20 minutes of our sermon to list all the many things that we need to cry out to this world of wilderness, sin, and death, like baptism, the Lord's Supper, the means of grace, end times, Holy Christian Church, Christian parents, Christian youth, and many, many more things. But all begins and ends right here in God's Word. studying, reading, hearing God's Word, its focus is always on Jesus. We can only be a faithful voice crying out in the wilderness if we know what to cry out. God accepts no excuses for not knowing His Word. He gives it to us abundantly. He gives it to us freely. So as a voice still crying in the wilderness, we first need to be a faithful voice. Secondly, we need to be a humble voice. As we heard last week, again, John says here in John's Gospel that he wasn't even worthy to do the lowest menial task of a servant, unloosing the sandal strap of his Savior. His credentials were not something that he made up. God called him to be this forerunner. He was proclaiming Jesus. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. He humbly knew that his ministry would come to an end once Christ came and showed himself as the Savior of mankind. So when we counsel one another, when we forgive a brother or sister, when we admonish each other, when we empathize and cry with those who mourn, may we do it as humble servants of God, seeking no glory of our own, but only that the person who hears the words we proclaim to them receives that word through faith. We also need to remember that our strength to be that voice comes from the very word that we proclaim, from God and His Word. The only power and strength we can have to proclaim that as a voice in the wilderness is from the very word that we're to proclaim. The Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's what he proclaimed, the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Thirdly, we're not only supposed to be a faithful voice, a humble voice, but a voice with a mission. Our purpose on earth is not merely pass time and grow old. Our purpose on earth is not to gather as many toys and goods and possessions and get as rich as we can before we die. Our purpose is not to serve self. How many people live an aimless, purposeless life, not knowing why they're here, not knowing what they're doing here, not knowing who they are? How terrible is that? Yet sometimes we look out the world and we see that unbelievers have more purpose in their lives than we Christians. In their efforts to bring peace on this earth and happiness, unbelievers and heathen, in their efforts, selfless efforts, to promote environmental and social causes for man's welfare, sometimes put more time in, more effort in, more of their time, efforts, and talents than we Christians who have the good news of salvation and the peace of Christ for mankind. And for that, we should all hang our heads in shame. As Christians, we are to be ever aware of who we are, to whom we belong, why we are here, and where we're going. God's agenda, God's purpose for our lives, is to be our agenda and our purpose for our lives. The big challenge in the Christian's life is to keep that purpose and that agenda before our eyes of faith as we study and read and hear God's Word, to prepare our hearts and our voices to go out and proclaim that good news to the hearts of others and to show Christ's love as we serve others, even our enemies. So we have one last question, the same one. Who are you? If you are a repentant believer in Christ Jesus, then you are a voice that still cries out in the wilderness of this world. You're a faithful voice, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the only Lord and Savior of mankind, proclaiming that His Word is verbally inspired, inerrant, and applicable to every daily situation of life. You're a humble voice, proclaiming Christ crucified and risen again, and proclaiming His Word to the glory of His name and for the welfare of lost souls. And you're a voice with a mission. God's purpose for us here on earth is our purpose. His work is our work. His mission is our mission. Not just here on Sunday morning, but every day and everywhere we may be. We pray the Holy Spirit fill us with the character and the message of John the Baptist as we worship our Lord and Savior and prepare for His coming with eager, bold, untiring zeal to get that message of God's love and forgiveness out to the rest of the world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.